Morning, Houston. Welcome to Amplified Houston on 90.1 FM KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 FM in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five leading nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option one. I am your host, Anna Coffey. It is my pride and privilege to serve as CEO of the Women's Home, and this is Amplify Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Stacy Sewell, Chief Clinical Officer at the Women's Home. But first, I wanted to remind you that this show is sponsored by The Cottage Shop, located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, benefiting the Women's Home, where your next favorite outfit funds someone else's fresh start. Stacy, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Anna. I'm excited to be here.
Great, let's get started. We're going to talk a lot about the Women's Home and what we do and the women that we serve, but I wanted to start with you and your personal story. What led you to do this work, and what does it mean to you to personally walk alongside women doing hard things?
Great question. It happened not because I chose this profession. Initially, I wanted to be a chemist, so I went to college for chemistry. While I was there, I started working with a youth program where we brought youth from the inner city onto our college campus to for more of the tutoring to help them stay on the level for academics. While I was there, I somehow ended up being the person who got the children who didn't know how to sit or behave properly, quote unquote. And so I ended up doing informally a group for children who were discarded from the tutoring program, from the inner city program we were running. So from there, that
Wow.
started my interest in psychology. I took courses to be able to better support them. Fast forward, got a master's degree in psychology, got licensed in both Illinois and Texas. And I was really primarily working with children of sexual abuse and victims of violent crimes. What I noticed in working with the children is, of course, when you do children's work, you work with their families. And so, in talking with their moms and grandmothers, I noticed that there was a lot of complex trauma that was woven throughout the generations. So, when the opportunity came about with the Women's Home, I said, that is an area that I have not explored, although I've worked with on the peripheral. And recovery has always been an important part of my personal story with my family members. I've seen them struggle a lot, and I've also seen them struggle to find resources. So, given the opportunity to create programming to help support those who don't have resources, has always been a special part of my drive at the Women's Home.
That's great, Stacy. I actually didn't know that story of your background. So, what a cool thing to sort of trip into your calling when you thought it was chemistry and it actually turned out to be, helping people. So what does it mean to you to work to personally walk alongside women doing hard things?
It means to, it's really reality based. We think about what's hard in our lives when we're pretty well adjusted, right? Or we think we're well adjusted. And what I realize is that it takes more effort for the woman who gets up, who's been knocked down 15, 20, 30 times. And it helps me not to complain so much about the little things. The personal things walking alongside is that I get to see clients when they first come in. And they're not sure that they want to be here. To seeing them graduate and come back and say, thank you, can I volunteer? So to be able to see all the little steps along the way, the stumbles, the falls, but what's really encouraging is that they always get back up. So that's, it's inspiring to me. It strengthens me. And it helps me to put one foot in front of the next when the days get really tough, with just the circumstances of life.
Yeah. And listeners, for those of you who are not familiar with the programming of the Women's Home, we serve women who have a combination of a substance use disorder, a mental health condition, and most of whom have experienced homelessness. So when they arrive at the Women's Home, they're usually at a pretty low point in their lives, and they come to do some really hard work to reclaim their lives. We feel like it's our responsibility to offer tools and sacred spaces for them to heal. And it is their responsibility to make what they want to out of their lives. And we have some incredible stories. And as Stacy said, it's a real joy to walk alongside them every day and watch their transformation. I think that's one of the things that I love dearly about working at the Women's Home. So, Stacey, for people who don't know much about the Women's Home, I think what really sets us apart is that we use the whole life model of care. Can you explain to our listeners what that is and how is it different from traditional approaches to treatment?
Sure. The whole life model of care was started at the Women's Home in the early 90s, and it's really a concept of working to strengthen various areas in a person's life, not just their addiction, and so creating a whole life. It aligns with the social drivers of health, which really look at protective factors in education access, health care, economic stability, and the neighborhood and the social settings that you have. And with the whole life model, we have six wellness factors that we address. That is emotional, mental, physical, social, vocational, financial, and spiritual. Each of those areas is folded within the treatment planning process that the client helps to drive. And we touch on each of those. So even thinking about mental, emotional, one of the core objectives that we have as a part of a residential treatment program is sobriety. So sobriety as well as mental stability. So that might mean connecting with a psychiatrist if you have mental illness in addition to your substance use disorder. Then also using the counseling services to work through those traumas that you have not really talked through, may have talked around, may have stuffed down, maybe you've never mentioned before. It's as a part of healing. Physical wellness is, pairs hand in hand with mental and emotional. A lot of women have not paid attention to the physical health nature, so they may not have gone to the dentist, had a mammogram, had just a general physical, and they have physical ailments that are present. So what we do is working with them on how do you take care of your physical health as well as your mental health and connecting with those resources. Vocational and financial, tying hand in hand again. We work with them on understanding what your skills are, what your interests are. If you don't have a GED, getting a GED. If you have a college degree, how do you upskill and get back into the field? Because what we say about, addiction, it's the great equalizer. We have women working side by side here. Some people have never worked in their entire lives. Some people have great careers. They all lost it to the addiction. And so getting financially stable again. For the social concepts, it's really how do you socialize sober? What are the things that you can enjoy? And how do you develop new friendships that are going to support you in active recovery? And the spiritual, it's spiritual and religion. What does that mean to you? We do work with a 12-step model that is spiritually based. And how do you weave that into your world and your life where religion may have, in your experience, shunned you? So these are the six wellness factors that we use throughout, starting day one when a person walks into our treatment program, all the way through the support that we provide to those that are in the community.
I love the whole life model of care. I use it in my own life. It's a great tool for those of you who are sitting out there listening and thinking, "Ooh, that sounds like something I might like to look more into." It's all on our website at thewomenshome.org. Stacey, the women we've talked about the women who we serve, and the combination of disorders that they have when they come into us. But I think there's a lot of people out there who probably don't understand what kind of a burden a woman is carrying, or anyone who is experiencing homelessness. What is it that that brought them to that place? I think it's there's a lot of misconceptions, and people might place a lot of blame on that person who's experiencing homelessness without really understanding the complex dynamics that led them there. So what can you help our listeners understand when a woman walks through the doors of the women's home? What kind of pain or burden is she often carrying?
I'm going to share some feeling words, if you will.
Sure.
They are carrying a lot of shame, a lot of disappointment, loneliness, failure, constant fear, hopelessness, complex trauma. And they have physical pains and emotional pains that are really competing for first place in their lives. So they are broken, and they are feeling that there's no way out. So the hopelessness is really what they walk in with, but there's a spark of hope, which is what allows them to make the first call, which is what we hold on to at the Women's Home. Everyone comes from a bit different background. So the shame, disappointment, loneliness, failure, constant fear, hopelessness, and trauma can look very different in everyone. Sometimes it's having to leave your children. Sometimes it's having to leave your job. Sometimes it is to go into a place that's unfamiliar, whereas leaving the familiar place is still bad for you, but staying there is what's comfortable. So being able to be comfortable in the discomfort of taking the first step to make a change in your life.
I think what a lot of people miss is that courage that it takes. Someone who has been knocked down by their disease, by their mental health condition, by the world in general, who's been knocked down like, you know, 5, 6, 7 times. The courage and strength it takes to get up that 8th time is really remarkable. And I think, you know, at the Women's Home, we try to celebrate that courage, and we try to really emphasize for our women and for the general public, you know, how much courage that takes. And, you know, you may look at a person who is in that kind of pain and, you know, think, well, you know, what did you do to get yourself there? We look at a woman who is coming in with that pain and we think, wow, the courage it must have taken you to get here. And so we try to emphasize that part of her recovery, because that's what's going to really see her through. So can you talk a little bit, Stacey, about the small but powerful moments of bravery you've seen in the women that we serve? Just maybe talk a little bit about what it takes for them to show up, and then the bravery to keep walking down that road?
It takes courage and bravery to be able to choose recovery, because sometimes it means seeing things clearly for the first time. And sometimes seeing things clearly is hard and it hurts because it's painful. It also means making decisions about dealing with your past trauma. When it's easier to step it down and just keep moving through life as you always have. Some of the things that I've noticed in the bravery with the women that are in our program is they are learning how to honestly express their fears, their concerns. They learn how to apologize. They hold themselves accountable and they hold their peers accountable. They also learn to say no and to walk away, which is really, really hard, and they've never done that before, because it's just easier to say, okay, nobody cares anyway, so I might as well do it. Nobody expects anything of me. And when they start expecting more of themselves, and when they see that their sisters in recovery and treatment with us and our staff here believe that they can do more and they should do more and the expectations are higher, they step up to the plate, they put on their big girl pants and they say, let's do this.
Awesome. Okay, we're gonna come back after a commercial break, and I would love to hear a story, if you could share a story of a woman's journey with us. But first, let's take a few seconds to talk about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work to bring you the shows are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option one to become a sustaining member today. And it is time to clean out those closets. It is spring cleaning time, but don't just toss your old clothes, transform them at the cottage shop. Donate your gently used clothes to the cottage shop, where your cast-offs become someone else's power outfit. Every donation to the cottage shop funds the programs at the women's home, where women do lots of hard things to reclaim their lives. The cottage shop is located at 811 Westheimer, right across from Katz's Deli. We're open from 10 to 4, Monday through Saturday, Thursdays until 6. The cottage shop. Clean out your closet and change a life. Okay, we are back with Stacy Sewell, who is the Chief Clinical Officer at the Women's Home. She is telling us all about some of the remarkable hard work that women at the Women's Home do to reclaim their lives. So Stacy, can you share a client's story of how her life was transformed when she was given not just treatment, but a safe and sacred space to heal?
Sure. There is one woman that I'm thinking of, and she was a little bit more seasoned in life. And so I pick her because it's a struggle sometimes when you think about somebody in early recovery at 24, 25, they think, oh, I have my whole life ahead of me. When you look at a woman who's at 50 years old, she's like, why even bother? This is that woman I want to speak about today. She came to us after a series of times in residential treatment and outpatient treatment. She was a homeowner in a different part of Texas, had moved to Houston to try to get away from it all. And through that process, she had to give up her children, she gave up her job, she gave up her life. She eventually became homeless in addiction here in the Houston area. Through the process of working at the women's home, she stayed with us for about the 18 months. On average, people stay around 12 months. She stayed the 18 months because she needed to stay that long. She built up all of her skills as far as vocational. She had worked through some of her trauma. She had gone on a path of really being successful to graduate from the women's home. She went to apply for a job. She was excited that she got the job. Then after that, they did her background. From the background, they rescinded the job that would have been an incredible above living wage job, full-time with benefits. They told her no. From there, she went back into depression and despair. She got very angry. Why bother? Here I am again. I told you they're just going to take me down. A week later, she walked into the case manager's office and said, okay, now what do we do? I still want to work. So she really tapped into her resiliency and the courage and bravery to get back up once again in the safety of the women's home that allowed her to kind of process that. What does that feel like to know that you can do this job? And because of your past, you're still stigmatized. You're still told no. From there, she was able to continue to apply for jobs, eventually did get a job through one of our partners that are sensitive to backgrounds. She continued working. She became a recovery coach in her part-time, and she now is still successful and volunteers with the Women's Home.
Incredible story. Yeah. Sorry, did I cut you off, Stacy?
Yeah, but one of the things that I wanted to just add to that is that she was a person who thought she was too broken to heal. And no one's too broken to heal. One of the things that we do from day one is to offer women hope. And when we think of hope, we think of hard work, opportunities, power, and engagement. All of those wrapped together help to strengthen the women while they're here. And then once they graduate from us, to use all of those tools in their toolbox to dig deep and succeed.
Wonderful. It's a beautiful story. I know the woman that you're talking about. She is such a shining light for all of us. It's been an honor to watch her journey and to watch her transform herself. You know, there's a quote I love, and that is that there is nothing stronger than a broken woman who has rebuilt herself. And that is so true. We see it every day, and it's such a joy. So at the Women's Home, we talk about sacred space, and we use that term to describe part of what we're responsible for providing for our women. Can you help the listeners understand what we mean when we say it's a sacred space?
So sacred space is both physical and emotional. And a sacred space does not mean a space without issues or challenges. It means really an area that supports healing. It allows for working through challenges, identifying and addressing the internal conflict that a lot of our clients are struggling with, and learning to love yourself again. You know, really starting with you, an appreciation of who you are, so that you can give love to others. At the Women's Home, we have, you know, a community living. We have up to 30 hours of programming per week. We have sober social events. We push women outside of their comfort zone to heal in the safety and support of the Women's Home. And this is all within the bounds of the sacred space. And we do our hard work here. When the clients graduate, this sacred space concept is instilled with them. So they learn how to, and they learn the importance of embracing sacred space in the world after they've graduated back to the regular community. So they keep that as a part of their active recovery in their lives.
I'm a firm believer that every woman should have her sacred space. Stacey, we're going to wrap it up in a couple of minutes here, but I wonder if you could say one thing to a woman out there who's still in the struggle, who doesn't believe there's hope, what would you tell her?
I would tell her, call us. A phone call is just to ask questions. It doesn't commit you to anything, and it allows you to connect with someone. I would say, come to one of our sober social events and see how we party happily sober. And I think also, as long as you have the strength and willingness to take the first step, there's hope. So if that woman is in the struggle, but she's thinking, I want to recover, I want to stop using, there's hope.
Oh. Always hope. Okay. And is there anything that you'd like the world to understand about the women that we serve and about their strength and what they're truly capable of?
I think I want to make sure that the world understands that addiction is an illness and it must be treated as such. It is not a shameful chosen path. It's a part of an individual, but it does not define who they are. I will say that the women that I've met in recovery through here and outside are some of the strongest, most resilient, creative, resourceful, intelligent, and determined people that I've met. And, you know, when you meet someone who's in recovery, congratulate them, celebrate them, because it can be 1 year, it can be 25 years in active recovery. But one thing that I know, and they will tell you, that they have to wake up every day and make a choice to stay clean and sober. And so that is strength, that is resiliency, that is determination. So that's what I'd like the world to know and to embrace active recovery.
I think the people that I know in long-term recovery are some of the most amazing people I have ever met, some of the strongest and most self-assured and self-reflective people that I know. So I have a deep abiding respect for that. Well, Stacey, we started talking today with a little bit of personal background for you. And I want to close it out the same way. So could you share with our listeners, what's a small thing that you do that brings you joy?
At work, I spend a lot of time here. I enjoy walking through the labyrinth and sitting in our garden. I enjoy hosting the dessert table at our graduations because everybody comes to the dessert table and I get to talk to everybody and hear their stories and where they are. And I also like hanging out in one of our training areas, listening to our clients as they are dealing with customers and engaging them and seeing their growth from day one to day 60, 70, 80. Those are the things I do for joy, that bring me joy.
Yeah, yeah. We are so lucky to be able to work at the Women's Home and watch those miracles every day. So listeners, if you would like more information about the Women's Home, we welcome volunteers, we welcome donors, and we welcome women who are on their struggle. Please go to our website for more information, thewomenshome.org. And that's it for us today. I want to thank our guest, Stacy Sewell. Stacy, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the radio, and I hope people understand all the incredible work that you do every day to help women reclaim their lives, and it's a joy to work with you. Be sure to stay tuned, listeners, for Immigrant Alert to hear about all the latest news in immigration today. Thank you so much, Stacy, for your wisdom today. And this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, over and out.
Great show, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you. Come hold me tight. Kiss
me, my darling. Hey, everybody, this is Hayes Carl, and you're listening to KPFT Houston.
Y'all were the first station to ever play me on the radio, so it's a selfish reason, and it was like...
Lisi and John, can you hear me?
Man, I've been exposed to so much great stuff.
Can you try your microphone?
Show radio, it's just an entirely different world, and then also, I feel so connected to the community. When I listen, I find out what's going on. I find out the issues of the day. I find out about different people's personalities and the DJs and broadcasters and their styles. It's such an important part of the community.
Can you try your microphone?
It's been maybe the most important station to me in my career and journey. I'm really grateful to you guys.
And you, John?
It's Carl. Listen for his music and other local artists here on KPFT.
The 8-track tape format was introduced in 1965 and held its reign through the 1970s. This is our focus. In the beginning,